The first note of the restored organ lands like a hand on my chest. In the front pew, I hold Mildred's gloved fingers and wonder which of us will walk out of St. Michael's still pretending. Reverend Thompson stands at the pulpit in Easter white. Heinrich sits behind us, shoulders squared, hands still marked by varnish and metal dust. Lilies crowd the altar. The air smells sweet and sharp. I am 73, thin as a hymn book spine, with a soft belly that arrived after retirement. My hair is ash gray. My hands are broad and raw from keys, tools, and years of making myself useful. People call those hands faithful. They do not know what those hands have fastened in secret. The hymn is Jesus Christ is risen today. The organ carries it like a river. A low pedal note blooms under the pews, as the stained glass seems to tremble in the vibration. Mildred leans close. "Are you all right, Charles?" Mildred asks. "I'm all right," I say. My voice scratches. I keep my eyes on the cross because Heinrich knows my other name. Tears slide down my nose and onto the hymnal. I blink hard, and the notes blur. The sound up in the loft makes my ribs feel hollow, in a way that hurts and heals at the same time. The music pulls me back to October. October, 6 months earlier, Reverend Thompson called a meeting after Sunday service. The organ had wheezed through the last hymn, a tired animal trying to stand. We gathered in the fellowship hall with coffee and polite worry. Reverend Thompson tapped the table. "St. Michael's is 100 years old," Reverend Thompson said. "Our pipe organ is nearly as old." "Oh, we can patch it again, or we can restore it properly." A folder sat in front of him, thick with estimates. "A specialist from Germany is available," Reverend Thompson said. "Heinrich Weber. We need someone to oversee the work, someone who can be here often." Mildred's gaze slid toward me. Mildred's eyes are brown and practical. Mildred knows my habits the way a person knows the creaks in their own stairs. I have been the unofficial organ caretaker for years. I oil the bench. I chase away mice. I replace bulbs in the console lamp. I volunteer when something needs attention. "I can do it," I said. Reverend Thompson's shoulders eased. "Charles," Reverend Thompson said, "that would be a blessing." On the drive home, Mildred kept both hands on the wheel. Rain clicked against the windshield. At the heater smelled faintly of dust. "You will be there every day," Mildred said. "For a while," I said. Mildred's mouth tightened. "You say yes to the church faster than you say yes to yourself," Mildred said. "Do you know that?" I looked out at wet storefronts sliding past. "It is important," I said. Mildred's voice softened, but it did not turn gentle. "You are important, too," Mildred said. "Do not disappear into that building." I wanted to tell Mildred that I had already disappeared long ago, and not only into St. Michael's. I said, "I won't," because it was the only answer Mildred could hear. That night, Mildred counted the household bills at the kitchen table. Mildred tapped a pencil against the paper. "We can afford it," Mildred said, meaning the pledge, the donations, the lunches for Heinrich. "Ah, the small things that turn into real money." "We can," I said. My hands itched to open the cedar chest, but I sat across from Mildred and watched the pencil move. Mildred looked up. "You have been quiet lately," Mildred said. "I am tired," I said. Mildred nodded once and went back to numbers. The light over the table made Mildred's hair look silver at the temples. I wondered when that happened. At home that night, after Mildred fell asleep, I stood at my closet and opened the cedar chest hidden behind my suits. Inside, folded with care, were Charlotte's things. Charlotte has lived in my life for 40 years. Charlotte is not a joke. Charlotte is the part of me that can breathe deep. Charlotte listens to hymns and feels closer to God as a woman than I ever have as a man. I touched a blouse, a blue as a clear morning, and felt the thin cotton slide under my fingertips. Cedar and talcum rose together. I closed the lid and whispered, "Not now." I told myself the restoration was safe work. I told myself Charlotte would stay in the chest. I said it like a prayer. November arrived with rain. Heinrich arrived with a van full of tools. Heinrich looked in his early 50s. His hair was cut short, iron gray. His face seemed carved rather than grown. When Heinrich shook my hand, his grip was firm and dry. Charles, I said, welcome to St. Michael's.
Thank you, Heinrich said.
Heinrich's English was careful, as if every word needed its own space. I led Heinrich up the narrow stairs to the loft. The air turned cooler, dust floated in the sunbeams from the high windows, and Heinrich paused at the platform and inhaled.
Old wood, Heinrich said. Old leather. It is like a library.
The organ's interior was a maze. Pipes stood in ranks, tall as a man and small as a candlestick. Some leaned slightly. A thin whistle escaped from somewhere it should not. Heinrich set down his bag and ran his fingertips along a pipe.
We will give it new lungs, Heinrich said.
Work began with listening, labeling, and disassembly. Heinrich taught me how to lift pipes without twisting them. Heinrich wrote numbers on tags in neat black ink.
Do not hurry, Heinrich said when I reached too fast.
Metal remembers. I started spending long hours in the church. Wax and old hymnals, cold stone, the faint metallic tang of pipes. On the third day, and Heinrich asked me to stand in the nave while Heinrich tested single stops. I sat alone in a back pew, listening while Heinrich pulled one register at a time. A reed stop barked like a brass band. A flute stop whispered like breath through a straw. The principal pipe sounded like sunlight through clear glass. Heinrich called down,
"How is it there?"
"It is clearer," I said. I kept my voice low, as if the building itself might be listening. Heinrich came down the stairs and sat beside me. Heinrich smelled of metal and old dust. Heinrich held a small notebook open on his knee.
"This organ was voiced for this room," Heinrich said. "Not for recording, not for concert, for people who sing with imperfect mouths."
I glanced at the hymnals in the pew rack.
"That is us," I said.
Heinrich nodded. "In Germany."
Some organs are like kings," Heinrich said. "This one is like a good baker. It wants to feed."
Heinrich flipped a page. The paper was yellowed, brittle at the edges.
"Found this inside," Heinrich said.
On the page was a list of stops in old script, and under it a sentence in careful English, as if the writer had wanted to be understood by strangers. "For the comfort of all who hear." I traced the words with my eyes.
"The builder wrote that?" I asked.
"Yes," Heinrich said.
"Or someone who loved the builder."
The sentence hit me harder than it should have. All who hear, not all who behave, not all who fit. The organ did not care about the shape of the hands. Heinrich watched my face.
"You are quiet," Heinrich said.
"I think about hymns," I said. It was true, and it was also a safe edge of the truth. Heinrich closed the notebook.
"Hymns keep secrets," Heinrich said. "They say one thing, and they mean another."
Heinrich stood and offered me his hand to help me up. When Heinrich's palm met mine, I felt the dryness of a working man's skin. I felt the steadiness. I wished fiercely for that steadiness to live in me. Mildred watched me pack my bag each morning.
"How long will you be there tomorrow?" Mildred asked.
"Most of the day," I said.
"Heinrich needs help."
Mildred chewed slowly.
"Retired men are supposed to sit down sometimes," Mildred said.
"I sit," I said, and both of us knew it was almost true.
Agnes called one evening while Mildred washed dishes. Agnes is my sister by 3 years, sharp-eyed and plain-spoken.
"You sound busy," Agnes said. "What are you doing with yourself?"
Charles.
"I'm overseeing the organ restoration," I said.
"Do not fall off a ladder," Agnes said. "I do not want to visit you in a hospital."
"I won't," I said.
I watched soap bubbles slide down Mildred's hands. "It is good to have purpose."
Agnes paused.
"You always had purpose," Agnes said. "You just did not always let it show." In the loft, Heinrich and I fell into a rhythm. Heinrich worked with quiet intensity. Heinrich hummed sometimes, not hymns, but something steady. Heinrich spoke about wind pressure and voicing. Heinrich also spoke about sound, as if sound had a soul.
"People think this is machine," Heinrich said one afternoon.
"Yes, it is machine, but it is also breath. The whole church breathes through it."
December brought cold. My fingers stiffened on tools. Yet the church heat lagged behind the weather. One night, Heinrich asked,
"Why you stay so late?"
Heinrich asked, "It needs to be done," I said.
You have wife, Heinrich said.
Yes, I said.
Heinrich looked at my face a moment. Fine is not always peace, Heinrich said. That night I lied to Mildred.
There is a deacon's meeting, I told Mildred. Reverend Thompson wants to discuss Easter music.
Mildred frowned.
On a Tuesday? Mildred asked.
Heinrich can only work certain evenings, I said.
Mildred rinsed a plate. Water splashed her apron.
All right, Mildred said. Just do not forget you promised to fix the porch rail.
I drove to the church with a hollow feeling under my ribs. The sanctuary was dark except for work lights. The stained glass looked like bruised jewels.
And Heinrich was already there. We work, Heinrich said, as if work could make everything honest. When I came home after those late nights, Mildred was usually asleep. The house would smell of dish soap and the faint smoke from our neighbor's chimney. I would stand in the hallway and listen for Mildred's breathing, steady and unaware. One night, I washed my hands at the sink and watched gray water swirl away. Glue and polish clung to my skin. My knuckles were cracked. My wedding ring looked dull. I went to the closet and opened the cedar chest. Charlotte's things lay folded like a second life that had never stopped waiting. I lifted a slip, pale against the dark wood, and pressed it to my cheek. The fabric was cool, then warmed. It felt like mercy. I did not put on a full dress that night, as I did not have the courage. I pulled on the slip and stockings under my pajamas, small private layers that changed the way my body sat inside itself. In the spare room, I turned on a small radio and found a station playing hymns from an old service somewhere. The sound was thin, but it carried. I sat in a straight-backed chair and listened. I rested my hands in my lap, palms up. The stockings made my legs feel both exposed and held. The slip strap tugged gently at my shoulder when I shifted. I whispered a prayer I did not know how to say in daylight. Lord, see me, I whispered. Do not let me become a lie all the way through. The house stayed quiet. Mildred did not stir. The clock ticked in the hallway. When the hymn ended, I turned off the radio and sat in the dark a little longer. Yet I could still feel the organ loft in my muscles, the ladders, the pipes, the smell of dust that had slept for decades. Charlotte sat with me in that room. Charlotte did not demand anything. Charlotte simply listened, as if the listening itself was a kind of worship. January came, and the organ began to wake. New leather made the bellows respond. Cleaned pipes spoke with less rasp. Heinrich tuned each rank with a small tool and a listening face. One Saturday, Reverend Thompson climbed to the loft and looked impressed by the ordered chaos.
How are we doing? Reverend Thompson asked.
It will sing, Heinrich said. For Easter, it will sing. Reverend Thompson smiled.
God is good, Reverend Thompson said.
God is patient, Heinrich said.
After Reverend Thompson left, Heinrich said quietly,
In my country,
a church was watched.
East Germany? I asked.
Heinrich nodded. My brother liked hymns, Heinrich said.
Heinrich's voice went flat, like a bell struck and muted. He died because people could not stand someone different. The late evening that broke me came in early February. Mildred thought I was at another deacon's meeting. I drove through sleet that scraped the windshield. Inside the church, the air smelled of cold stone and old wood. Heinrich sat at the console with a small lamp lit.
You look tired, Heinrich said.
I am old, I said. Heinrich made a brief sound of amusement.
Old is trained, Heinrich said.
Heinrich pulled a stop and pressed a key. A soft flute voice sounded, clear and lonely. The sound floated up and returned. I closed my eyes without meaning to. Heinrich stopped.
Huh, this hymn, Heinrich said. When you hear, you are calm, like you are not fighting.
It is my favorite, I said. Heinrich shook his head.
Not favorite, Heinrich said. It is peace.
Heinrich played Abide with Me, slow and steady. The notes did not beg. The notes simply stayed. When Heinrich finished, Heinrich said,
My brother loved this hymn.
Heinrich told me about 1987. Heinrich told me about beatings, about a hospital, about officials calling it an accident. Heinrich did not ask for my pity.
Heinrich spoke like a man reading a report he never agreed to sign. Heinrich stood and lifted the lamp toward an opened panel inside the case. Pencil marks hid in the grain.
"He wrote," Heinrich said, tracing without touching, "for the glory of God."
"Face and for the comfort of all who hear." "All," I whispered. Heinrich turned to me.
"All,"
Heinrich said. "The pipes do not ask who you are. The air does not ask." My hands shook. I hid them under my thighs. Heinrich said, "Charles, you are kind man, but you are hiding. I have seen men hide until they are empty." I tried to push the words away. "It is not your business," I said. Heinrich nodded. "True," Heinrich said, "but sacred sound is my business, and I see what sound does to you." My eyes fell to the worn keys. I heard myself speak, quiet as a confession booth. "Her name is Charlotte," I said. Heinrich did not laugh. Heinrich did not flinch. Heinrich asked, "Charlotte is you?" "Yes," I said. "I dress as her. I have for 40 years. Heinrich's face stayed steady.
"Oh, does Charlotte love music?" Heinrich asked.
"Yes," I said. "Charlotte listens to hymns. Charlotte feels closer."
Heinrich looked at the pipes again. "Then Charlotte belongs in the comfort of all," Heinrich said. "Not in danger, not in front of crowd, but in truth."
Heinrich returned to work, adjusting stops, writing notes, testing pipes. Heinrich treated my confession like a fact of the world. 2 nights later, a package waited on the bench, a compact disc and a note in Heinrich's neat English. "For Charlotte, who deserves to hear this." At home, I hid the disc in my coat pocket. Mildred sat with her knitting.
"Meeting go well?" Mildred asked.
"Yes," I said, and my mouth tasted like metal. After Mildred slept, I played the disc in the spare room. Bach chorales filled the small space with clean,
S-layered sound. I opened the cedar chest. I pulled on a dark green skirt and stockings. The elastic bit my thighs, then steadied. The wig rustled near my ears. Lipstick warmed my mouth. In the mirror, Charlotte looked older now. Charlotte's lines were mine. Charlotte's eyes held a question with no easy reply. I whispered, "He knows." March arrived. The organ was almost finished, but one rank still rattled. Heinrich left early one night, and I stayed behind to test it. When I reached into my tool bag, I found Charlotte's lipstick and earrings tucked beside the screwdriver. I had packed them without thinking, like a man putting his keys in his pocket. I went to the choir room and locked the door. I changed slowly, hands clumsy from fear. A skirt under church light felt both impossible and obvious. Pearls cooled my throat. Lipstick tasted faintly sweet. I climbed to the loft with my coat closed over the skirt. I turned on the lamp and sat at the console. The bench felt the same. The keys felt the same. The world did not crack. I pulled gentle stops and played a hymn from Heinrich's disc. The organ answered like it recognized me. My shoulders lowered. My breath went deep. A floorboard creaked below, then a cough. Reverend Thompson called up the stairwell. "Charles?" My stomach tightened hard. I held still, coat pressing my ribs. Reverend Thompson climbed a few steps, then stopped.
"Forgot my notes," Reverend Thompson muttered, more to himself than to me.
Footsteps retreated. The stair door clicked. I sat until my breathing steadied. I did not play again. I fixed the rattle with shaking hands and drove home with my coat buttoned to the chin. In the kitchen, Mildred looked up from her crossword.
"You are back late," Mildred said.
"The rattle took longer," I said. Mildred watched me.
"Your cheeks are red," Mildred said.
"It is cold," I said.
Mildred nodded and returned to the crossword. Mildred did not ask more. I did not know if that was mercy or distance.
April brought final tuning. Heinrich returned, finished voicing, and made the organ speak like a single, steady voice instead of a pile of parts. On the last day, Heinrich held a note in the nave and listened to it ring.
"It is good," Heinrich said. "It will last."
I asked, "Do you miss your brother?" I asked.
"Every day," Heinrich said, "like a missing tooth."
"You feel it when you speak."
Reverend Thompson arrived with a clipboard.
"You have given us a miracle," Reverend Thompson said.
Heinrich shook his head.
"Work! Patience," Heinrich said.
When Heinrich packed his tools, Heinrich shook my hand. Heinrich leaned close and said, so only I could hear, "Charlotte, Easter will be loud." Heinrich left town the next morning. Now it is Easter, and Heinrich was right. The organ fills St. Michael's like sunlight. It reaches the back pew and the corners where shy visitors sit. Reverend Thompson preaches about fear and open doors. The phrases land in me differently now. Mildred squeezes my hand once, gentle and quick. At the final hymn, people clap. St. Michael's is not a clapping church, but today the sound breaks out anyway. After the service, Agnes catches my elbow.
Charles, Agnes said, come outside. We stand on the steps in cold April air. Damp grass smells bright. The organ's echo still hums in my bones.
You cried through half the service, Agnes said.
It was beautiful, I say. Agnes studies my face.
You have been lighter lately, Agnes said. You stand straighter, you laugh more. What happened?
I rub my cold hands together. Heinrich told me about his brother, I say. His brother died because people could not stand someone different.
Agnes's mouth tightens. That is awful, Agnes said.
He showed me a note inside the organ, I say. For the comfort of all who hear, it made me think about what a sacred place can hold.
Agnes keeps looking. Agnes always keeps looking.
Do not break yourself, Agnes said at last. Whatever this is,
do not do that. Agnes straightens my tie the way Agnes did when I started my first job. Go back in, Agnes said. Mildred will wonder.
That afternoon, we eat ham at home. Mildred talks about flowers and church gossip. I nod in the right places. My mind keeps returning to Heinrich's note and to Charlotte's folded clothes. After supper, Mildred stands at the sink. I am going to wash up, Mildred said. You can put on your record if you like. I hold Heinrich's disc case, thin plastic, under my fingers. The living room lamp glows warm. Our wedding photo watches from the wall. I open the hall closet and kneel by the cedar chest. Charlotte's clothes look like folded promises. I choose a navy dress with small white buttons. I take the wig and the pearls. In the bedroom, I pull on stockings. The elastic bites. It then settles. The dress slides over my shoulders and hangs straight. The wig cap pins my hair down. Lipstick warms my mouth. I listen to the kitchen. Water runs. A plate clinks. Mildred hums, unaware. I walk into the living room, dressed as Charlotte, and slide the disc into the player. Organ sound rises, rich and layered. I sit in my chair and fold my hands. The faucet turns off. Mildred steps into the doorway.
That sounds wonderful, Mildred said, and then Mildred sees me.
Mildred's hand grips the frame. Mildred's eyes travel over the wig, the dress, the pearls. Mildred's face flickers through small expressions I cannot name. I do not move. I let Mildred see me. Mildred takes one step into the room. Mildred asks, how long?
Forever, I say.
Mildred sits on the sofa, not collapsing,
but choosing where to be.
Mildred looks at my hands and reaches out. Mildred takes my fingers. Mildred's grip is cautious, but real.
The music is beautiful, Mildred says.
Outside, a car passes. Someone laughs on the sidewalk. Inside, Mildred and I sit with the sound and the truth, and with whatever comes next.